We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Butker will try this again. A 58-yard attempt. He's had plenty of leg on the first two attempts. Butker's kick is up. He lines it up. The kick is long enough. It is good! Harrison Butker, money, 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 penalty. Try to freeze him. He thaws the Chargers with a 23-20 walk-off 58-yard field goal, tying a Chiefs record, his own record that he tied earlier in the game. At 2 minutes to go in the overtime, the Chiefs go to 2-0 and continue their dominance over the AFC West.
Simple as that. Mitch Holthus yesterday on 106.5 The Wolf just took, you know, three kicks at the end. Oh, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Christen SoFi Stadium with another gut-punching Charger loss.
Another dominating win for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Or, well, that,
or
that's
not,
your spin.
You know, no, not dominating win, but win for the Chiefs. Doesn't matter how you do
some
it.
Some way, somehow, get it done.
Does not matter how you do it. It's like NCAA tournament time. A man survive and advance, and that's what the Chiefs did out there in California yesterday. There's no question about it. That was a survival game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And also setting a National Football League record yesterday, the sixth consecutive game where Patrick Mahomes has trailed by 10 or more,
yep,
where the Chiefs have come back to win.
Got
nobody
right
in the NFL
them.
Has done that in the now 101-year history of this great sport. Nobody
that
has ever had 10 or more point deficits in six consecutive games and come back and win those football games. Obviously, the postseason included as well. You go back,
it's top notch.
You go back to the game in Detroit last year, right about this time, about a year ago. Then you go to the Raider game where they were down 10-0. You've got three postseason games where you're down 10 or more points, and then yesterday's game where they're down 10 and they come back and win, and they've done that now in six consecutive games in trailing with 10 or more points. And that is a testament to Patrick Mahomes. That's a testament to Andy Reid, and that's a testament to that entire sideline that says, you know what, we get down, it's not a big deal, it is not panic time, it is not time to freak out and lose our minds. Let's just keep doing what we do and find a way to win this football game. And they needed extra periods to do it yesterday, but they found a way to win that football game. And when it's all said and done, the Chiefs are 2-0, sitting atop the AFC West, and have now won, what, 11 straight football games. And it doesn't matter how you get it done, even if you have to kick three field goals in overtime because of penalties and timeouts and, you know, all of that, you found a way to win. And you know, I hate to say it, Los Angeles Chargers found a way to lose. You can pin that one on two things yesterday for if you're a Charger fan. Anthony Lynn, bad play calling and decisions, and Justin Herbert with the one mistake yesterday. He made one mistake,
yep,
in that game yesterday. That interception, mm-hmm, at the five-yard line turned into a 95-yard touchdown drive. Obviously, 54 of that coming on one big pass to Tyreek Hill down, you know, the right sidelines there for the touchdown and rolling into the end zone. But you make one mistake against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they are going to capitalize on it. And that's why, to me, they are still the best team in the National Football League until somebody proves me otherwise. When you make one little mistake and you crack that door open, the Chiefs kick that thing down. The other big mistake, taking a field goal with 3:08 to go up by three and not going for a touchdown in that situation. And you kick that field goal, and that's when I, you know, we'll talk about it coming up in a half hour, but that's when I told you guys I felt the momentum shift in that game, because they kicked that field goal instead of trying to punch it into the end zone, and then Anthony Lynn punting in overtime on 4th and 1. I mean, you've been beating the Chiefs defense all afternoon in anything that you wanted to do. Your running game was a two-headed beast. Your rookie quarterback yesterday was brilliant. You got 4th and 1 and you're punting in that situation. You just gave the game to the Chiefs by doing that, because you know with Patrick Mahomes in this offense, they're going to get in the field goal range. And at that point in time, you just needed a field goal.
And we've said it before. I mean, and then look where you're at in your program.
That's exactly
like
right.
You need to do something bold and crazy.
Correct.
You're supposed to lose that game.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
You have an opportunity to steal a win.
Stealing it.
Just steal it.
Yeah. Go steal
right?
the win.
And if you go down swinging, you go down swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like they didn't go down swinging.
They didn't. They left some in the bag, man.
Right. So that situationally, I mean, if you're, I feel like if you're like a contender and you're farther along in your program, you're believing in your defense, we're going to make a stop, which we ended up, you know what I'm saying, like our defense has to make a stop in that situation. But
you're going against Patrick Mahomes.
But I'm thinking you got the Chiefs. They do this to people all the time. You're a little bit younger you're kind of younger as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Take a swing, man.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. Take a swing. And also, why was Bosa out of the game late? Like, why was he standing on the sidelines?
Yeah, I thought he looked gassed, and he wasn't the only one. There was some guys taking knees and huffing and puffing, and it looked like there was a lot of people sucking wind on both teams.
But you know what, Bosa, man, you're supposed to be this big time player, right? Big time players play big in big time games.
There's a significant win.
You're in overtime, and you're the best defensive player already on the
Mitchell
team.
Mitchell Schwartz wore him out.
He wore Mitchell Schwartz out big time yesterday.
I'm trying to give Mitchell Schwartz wore him out to the point that he had him. He had a plan.
I mean,
which was to get Bosa out at a couple key plays in overtime and tire him out by letting him run around so much in regulation that you're not going with that one.
So you're saying he was trying to let him punch himself out.
Right.
Himself out.
That's good.
That's good. Okay. If you like to take that angle.
That's been there. Yeah.
But aren't you supposed to be a big time player? Aren't you supposed to be in there in those situations at the end and Bosa standing on the sidelines? Like, if I'm a Charger fan today, I'm like
a pretty big time player for all the rest of the game.
Players, I mean, you didn't see LeBron take a step out of the game yesterday. I mean, you didn't see Anthony Davis take a step out of the game yesterday. Unless I'm missing something, did Joey Bosa have an injury? Did he get sick? I mean, like, the end of that game,
I just thought he was just beat.
I'm telling you what, man. Derek Thomas ain't taking himself out of a game in that situation.
Keep him in that situation because you've got everything to lose at that point.
What's
in time,
better, gas Joey Bosa or Steve? What's a better
Steve? Maybe.
I mean, like, what's a better option at that point in time? Like, you gave the Chiefs an opportunity, and they're the best at taking advantage of opportunities. And they kicked in that door, and they won that football game, and they remain on top of the AFC West.
And then the quarterback has 60 yards at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's going great offensively.
Right.
And he's over 300 yards for the game, and he makes two huge runs.
Mm-hmm.
That 21-yarder.
The 21-yard run is just insane, man.
Because I still marvel,
Pat Mahomes,
when players make a play to get a first down, mm-hmm. and they don't see that yellow line. Okay?
They don't. That's not
they
there.
Don't
they don't see that
yellow line. It is not there.
Oh. Wait, what?
And he takes just a little. Well, I won't say he takes a step because it was kind of like he's kind of like leaning the car, but he leans the car back to his left.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the right. He's short. He leans to the left and avoids a hit and dives forward and gets the first down.
Yes.
Pat Mahomes.
Right? Like, you're in the middle of the field and you know which yard line. I'm always amazed by that. Like, you know which yard line to get to. It's hard to see that stupid little chain.
That
technology that we have on the sidelines of a chain.
And there's so many people on the sidelines, too. Maybe you don't even know where it is.
It's just convoluted. So he innately weaves to the inside, gets the first down on a huge third down play. And then the other one in overtime where it's 3rd and 3.
Right, and he gets 4 where he sticks the ball out.
Gets there, gets the first down, like two
huge runs for Patrick Mahomes to help set things up as well. It was just kind of that will to win. Like, yeah. Hey, not everything's going right our day, but who cares? Let's go. Let's find a way. Let's get it done. And let's get out of there with a dub. And then Harrison Butker. I mean, the guy's got a great leg.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about it in the offseason. Like he was strengthening his leg. He's booming him in that building.
Yep.
And he lines up three times and drills field goals.
Drilled all three of them too. From like they weren't even close. Yeah.
Do you think one of his legs is like bigger than the other one?
Yes. Like somebody's got a bigger arm.
You didn't hear the when he came. I mean, he was incredible. He had room to spare.
Yeah.
I mean,
Oh yeah.
He crushed all three of them, mm-hmm. And then you know.
And he said the third one was his best.
Yeah. Well, he's like, well, we made an adjustment on the first two.
Yeah.
And you just crushed the third one.
Mm-hmm. He's a competitive prick.
But to be able to have that. Nothing's gonna throw you off.
Right.
I'm gonna go out there and you can ice me and you can do whatever. I'm gonna just kick and to have the stones to hit that three different times is, you know, makes you go. Phew. That's a way to come away with a win. They're not gonna be easy. Chargers played great.
They played great and lost.
I come out of that game like with more about the Chargers, really. Like,
well, you come out of that game, you know who the second best quarterback in the AFC West is now.
Crap. They may have found their quarterback.
Right.
This kid literally had no. To his credit, did everything you want to see out of a backup quarterback.
Guy was great. He was great yesterday.
Ready at the very get-go. There was no time.
No. Do you know when Anthony Lynn found out that he was not going to be playing? Coin toss.
When everybody did.
Coin toss.
When everybody did. I saw Tyrod Taylor out there running around the field. We're going, okay. You heard there was like a little rib thing, but he's out there working around. It's fine. Next thing you know, everybody's going, oh, Herbert's in there. And then didn't. Tyrod Taylor's on the bench and looking like he's not feeling real well. Like,
yeah.
Wow. And then the kid played great.
Played great.
Herbert played great. Mentioned Mitchell Schwartz in that offensive line. Man, they had a day. They had a rough day.
Yeah.
Because that defensive line was really good for the Chargers. And then their defensive style frustrates the Chiefs. It kind of doesn't allow you to take a lot from it. And the Chargers played great. And the Chiefs are still able to sneak away with the victory. Just take it and go, man.
Well, it really shows you how good the Kansas City Chiefs are because they withstood the best effort that the Chargers will have this year. I promise you that. That will be the best effort that the Chargers have this year. They laid everything out there. They gave their all. They played an amazing game on defense. They destroyed the Chiefs' offensive line. I mean, they absolutely destroyed the Chiefs' offensive line. And because of Patrick Mahomes and because of the way that he plays this game and being the best player in the NFL, the Chiefs found a way to win that football game. And that's what it's going to be like going forward. Every game is not going to be a 40-20 blowout win. It's not going to be a 500-yard passing day or a 200-yard rushing day or, you know, amazing offensive numbers. Every week, the Chiefs are going to see the opponent's best. And to win a game like they did yesterday just reinforces to me how good a football team this truly is. And why, as a fan, if you're thinking the game is over, it is never over as long as number 15 has an opportunity with time on the clock and the ball in his hand.
I don't recommend it, but they just prefer to be down double digit points.
It must be, man. It just brings out the best in them, man.
It's just fine. Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, 913-576-7610. If you know who had the fantasy pick to pop. Next.
All right. How we doing today? Everybody good? Well, good.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Herbert being rushed. Naughty maybe got held. He's going to throw it long across his body. He makes a mistake. It's intercepted. Intercepted by Legarius Sneed. I feel the need. I feel the need for Sneed, who comes up with a gigantic play as Herbert finally makes a mistake in his debut, throwing across his body. Sneed has two picks in his first two NFL games.
Mitch Holtis yesterday at 106.5, the Wolf. I don't know what I like better, the call or Dane and Hughes on color, just chuckling.
I think Dane and chuckling was the better moment for me.
Top Gun reference in there, Mitch.
Yeah. Well, both are pretty good, though, but Dane going, like, you can hear the eye roll. Like, you can hear the eye roll, like, Dane going, really? The need for Snead.
It's really, I loved it. That was my favorite call today.
It was really good, and a really good call and a really big play, obviously, for the Chiefs in that football game. And we were talking about it earlier. I mean, you make one mistake against this team and they are going to make you pay and they're going to kick your teeth in. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. Who would have thought an interception at the 5-yard line at that point in the game would turn into one of the most pivotal plays in the game? But it did. And you know, Anthony Lynn was saying all week, the coach of the Chargers, as long as we don't turn the football over, we feel like we match up well with these guys. Well, they had the one turnover in that game, and that turned in, and that turned into 7 points. And as the Charger fan out there today, if you're that guy, like you can't even wake up this morning and be mad at Justin Herbert for throwing that interception. I mean, he was brilliant yesterday in a tough spot to go in and have to start after the coin toss.
Completely overmatched. Was not.
And there was only one play where he looked completely overmatched, he turned the wrong way on the handoff at the goal line. And another big play.
Yeah,
another huge play. Huge play. Obviously a big play. But that was the only play where I looked at Justin Herbert and went, oh, you look like a rookie quarterback who's never played before. Yeah. And that was it. In five quarters, basically, assuming, of football, right?
Assuming Austin Eckler wasn't what we make. Because you could just put that one on the
quarterback.
You could just put that one on the quarterback, assuming he's the new guy.
That's a good point.
Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it wasn't. Yeah, that's a fair point, Josh.
I don't know.
That's a fair point.
I pretty much put that in Herbert's column. But
right. Yeah.
You never know.
But I mean, he was really good yesterday, and it shows you, if you're the Chargers, what the last couple of years maybe could have been had you not had a quarterback that was so willy-nilly with the football and just threw it all over the place and committed turnover after turnover after turnover. I think revisionist history will tell you the last couple of years, Phillip Rivers may have cost the Chargers more games than he actually helped them win by throwing the ball away at key moments in time. And yesterday, that big interception by Snead, you know, he's now on pace for an interception a game, you know, for 16 games. Hey man, that was a big moment in that game, and the Chiefs found a way to get it done and make them pay for that turnover. Not only getting the turnover, but making you pay, and pay in a big way for that turnover.
Your chance to win a Smokehouse Barbecue Fridays at 6:15. We make our fantasy selections for the weekend. Monday at 6:15, you tell us who are the best of the fantasy picks, and you can win yourself a $50 Smokehouse gift card. Very, very simple. Just have to be listening on Fridays. Or you can check it out in the podcast section, right? You can go to 610sports.com or the radio.com app. We prefer you were listening live on Friday at 6:15.
Sure.
Monday at 6:15, you tell us who are the best of the fantasy picks. Joe is up this morning. Joe, can you tell us who had the fantasy pick to pop?
Ryan had Kyler Murray.
Ryan had Kyler Murray, and that is indeed correct.
That's right.
It's not so bad picking three now, huh?
Bob had Lamar, and Ryan swoops in with a little Kyler Murray. I told you, that kid.
The kid, good, man.
He's good.
He had a nice touchdown run yesterday. That rushing touchdown was so good against the football team, man. He took it to him yesterday.
Still very upset about the lack of good football team.
I sent you some pretty decent
enough
merchandise.
You sent me women's merchandise.
You didn't say what you preferred.
That had a deep V cut. That is,
it did. But it had a picture of the district that it said football team on it.
Chest hair sticking out. That's a good look.
Rocking the taco meat with the deep V neck.
With a big W.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I thought it was a very nice looking shirt that you should get. So. Congratulations.
That's
you get
right.
another chance on Friday.
Joe wins $50 to Smokehouse Barbecue. Simple as that. Be listening on Friday at 6:15. We'll make our fantasy picks for next weekend.
We had some Smokehouse wings and beans over the weekend, and I christened a new fan of the Smokehouse Barbecue. A friend of mine from Texas was up. I gave him those wings, and he literally fell asleep on my patio. They were so good. That's how good the wings are at Smokehouse Barbecue. So get yourself some Cajun wings, get some beans, and do it right.
Chiefs win it on a field goal in overtime after getting a field goal to send the game to overtime as well from Harrison Butker. And if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Man, it's great to not have to screw around with the kicker.
It really is. It really is, man. It's money in the bank.
You don't have to worry about, you know, two calves, McGillicuddy or whatever that guy's name last week was.
Two calves, McGillicuddy.
It hurt both calves, you know, missing a kick.
Rocky Balboa,
Bullock, wasn't it?
Bullock. Was it Bullock? Keith Bullock, that's it, yes.
No, I don't think it's Keith either.
No, Randy, Mr. Randy Bullock.
Mr. Randy Bullock.
Yeah.
But you don't have to mess around because Harrison Butker is just doggone automatic. Two 58-yard field goals, the 58 yards, ties the all-time franchise mark for longest field goals, and he does two of them in the game, including the game winner. And yeah, Andy Reid appreciative of his kicker.
Yeah, kick four field goals and two of them counted. But that's a tough deal, tough thing to do. And he's a mentally tough kid. And we appreciate him and how he goes about his job.
I get the joke.
Right. Yes.
But the math was a little
off. The math was a little off because Andy said that last night. I'm going, wait, I think he had three, and I'm going like back through notes. No, he had three. Yeah, he was 258. Like, he's on a roll.
He was on a roll. It took him three times to get that last one.
Correct.
You know, through the uprights, 53, 58, and 58.
Right.
Only one of them counted being the 58, but he hit two in regulation as well.
You know, I don't think we should take him for granted either, Josh.
No, not at all.
I mean, I watched a lot of NFL again yesterday with the Chiefs being the late game, and you're bouncing around from early game to early game. And obviously, I was watching the Packers-Lions for a good portion of yesterday's game, and then the Giants and Bears were on watching Saquon blow his knee out. But you know, Cairo Santos is now kicking for the Chicago Bears, and they've been through kicker after kicker after kicker after. Do you realize Cairo Santos is now on his fifth NFL team?
Yep.
I did not remember that he was playing for the Rams.
It was at least three.
Right. Yeah. He's on his fifth NFL team right now. And you see these guys around the NFL go from kicker to kicker to kicker, and teams just can't find the guy.
And we thought he was pretty good.
And
when
we thought
left
he was really
here,
good. Like, wow, right. Yeah. And I thought he was really good. We didn't know Gold Jacket Butker was sitting down there on the practice squad of the Carolina Panthers waiting to get plucked. I mean, and again, we say it all the time, just another tribute to Brett Veach understanding how to find talent and go after talent, and no matter where talent is, he's going to find that guy. And Harrison Butker, may go down as the steal of all time for Brett Veach when you talk about just random moves that help your team go to the next level. I mean, think about it. Harrison Butker is on a practice squad in Carolina. You've been watching him for a couple of years, and you plucked him off the practice squad because your kicker got hurt, and he's turned into a guy that will probably be wearing a gold jacket if he continues to do what he's been doing. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, when you have that, sometimes you get the eye roll. I know I have eye roll like, ugh. Oh, we scouted that guy when he was coming out. He really had interest in him. And you're like, okay, great. You scouted a whole bunch of people. You really had interest in somebody? No, they had interest in him. And they kept an eye on him, and then they realized they could go and grab him.
Right.
When the rest of us were like, well, your kicker's right now is pretty good.
He's fine.
No, you know?
Butker's great.
Yes.
And you know, I hesitate to use that term great because I think we just throw it around for everybody. Harrison Butker's legitimately a great kicker, and he is trending to be one of the best kickers in the history of this league. I mean, in 101 years of this league, Harrison Butker's trending to be one of the best kickers that we have ever seen. And I think right now you put him up there with the best that have played in Kansas City, with the Morton Andersons, with the Nick Lowry's, with everybody else that has been.
Jan Stenerud
was really good as well. I mean, but this guy, Josh, this guy just kicks field goals. Like, did you ever think he was going to miss that field goal yesterday? No, you don't. He gives you that reassurance that, you know what, if you need a kick to win a game, or you need two kicks to win a game, or you need three kicks to win a game at the end, Harrison Butker's going to nail it through every time, man. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives.
You get those nerves watching field goal kickers, and you're like, especially if
literally trot these guys out.
I had full faith he was going to drill all three, and he did.
Yeah, and he did. It's like, all right,
just
kick
got
it again.
A little bit more angry every kick. So the first one, I thought they called timeout, and then I realized it was a false start. But going into the second one, they called timeout again. So in my head, that's two timeouts. And then I think I even looked at the Chargers sideline because I was like, come on, man, I'm trying to finish this game and get back to Kansas City. So that third one I felt like was my best kick. And I mean, to have two practice kicks before that is only going to help you. And I'm just really happy that we were able to stay through from the blocked extra point. You know, we have a great field goal unit, James Winchester and Tommy holding the ball, and we were able to put it through. But that's stuff that we do in practice, and we were able to transfer it over to the game.
Do not make me angry. Yeah. I kick better.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Do we have any Incredible Hulk lines?
Yeah,
here?
I was like, I was building up, but then my anger consumed me, and I had to hammer it from 58.
Did you see the end of the game, though, the way that he kicked the field goal through the upright? Somebody did like a picture in picture, and somebody had like a camera view from the field, and as soon as he kicked the ball on the third kick, he just walked off the field. I mean, it was a legit like
Steph Curry
flip. Yeah, he legit bat flipped that thing and just walked off the field, man.
Drilled.
It was great. It was fantastic. That was one of the best moments of the day.
913,
including Mahomes.
576-7610.
Yes,
on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, we will shout it out. Anything you'd like to discuss? 913-576-7610. And you may be surprised when the text came. When was it over? Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Really, the only thing missing from that traffic report was in 3, 2, 1.
No, and then
the wrong station.
Wrong station, yeah, would have been, yeah. Would have really capped it off.
I'm going to check on Scott. I'm
make sure he's all right.
I know. Call up there, man. Find out what's going on.
Is he just not editing, or is he not okay?
It's
sure
early.
Right.
Maybe he dozed off in the middle of it.
Was he in the chopper this morning?
Stayed up late watching Pat's Seahawks or something. I don't know.
You liked the call at the end of that game. I was like, why don't you roll him out the other way, man?
No,
it was too easy.
No, that was a fun ending to the Sunday night game last night. But no, they weren't stopping Cam until they stopped Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun ending. Seattle.
Thought he was going to get to go to celebrate here Cam one more time, right?
Yeah. So, Chiefs will see the Patriots in
week 4,
week
right?
Four, yeah.
Coming here to Kansas City. Yep. Patriots 1-1, licking their wounds.
They're not done, though.
The Patriots are not done, though.
It's a pretty good team, and so is Seattle.
Is Seattle.
Yeah. Write that down. The Patriots still good.
Yes. The door is not slammed just yet.
Wait, how many times have we closed the door on them here in the last at least decade?
It happens every other year, I think.
With Stid, though, I would have closed it.
Yeah, with Stid, probably.
Who knows?
But you don't know.
Who knows? Maybe Stid comes out and plays great, too. But Cam's playing just fine.
I mean, that guy who played for the Chargers yesterday at center with the mustache and mullet was rocking a good. Belichick's son may have the best mullet in sports right now. That thing from Steve Belichick on the sideline yesterday.
Yeah.
That thing was glorious, man. That was glorious. That was great. And then his dad with the mask upside down the whole game. Like, can somebody tell that guy how to put on the mask, please?
He was really struggling with the mask.
Yeah. And then he's got the vents on the side of the mask, which spittle can go through. So it's really not an effective mask anyway.
Well, he's got the what looks like the more scientifically sound mask. But he just has trouble getting it on his face.
It was upside down. I mean,
and
so,
upside down. Yeah. All those things are a little
upside
bit difficult.
Down.
913-576-7610. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to discuss, 913-576-7610. And if you have a traffic, too, that you need to get out there, we'll pass it along.
Clearly, Scott drunk this morning.
It
slows.
It was a lot later in the game than I thought. I thought maybe I just missed it. Maybe my cell phone reception wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
I would imagine in SoFi Stadium, you're getting good reception. Yeah. It's named after an electronics company.
The stadium I was in had cell phone reception. But it didn't arrive until very late. When was it over,
well,
Fesco?
It was over yesterday, very late in the game, with 3:08 to go in regulation.
17-17 tie. 23-yard attempt for Badgley to take the lead. Good snap, placement, and an easy kick, and Badgley and the Chargers have the lead.
Yep, there it is. They took the lead. But if you listen to that, it sounded like somebody snapped their leg and screamed. Listen to that again. Seriously, listen to the snap and then listen to the scream.
17-17 tie. 23-yard attempt for Badgley to take the lead. Good snap, placement, and an easy kick, and Badgley and the Chargers have the lead.
Did you
God,
hear
it like, does. It sounds like something horrible
like
happened.
Somebody snapped their leg. And
I
then went,
think I have broken my leg.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it is broken.
That was not something that sounded good, but that was, like snap and scream, man. Did we lose somebody on that?
A traffic guy, I think.
Is that Scott?
I believe so.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. Holy cow, I hope that person's okay. So with 3:08 to go, the Chargers settled for a field goal to go up 20-17, and that's when I said, all right, this sucker's over, because I felt the Chiefs would go down and score a touchdown. Obviously, they didn't get the touchdown, had to go to overtime. But you didn't deliver the knockout blow. You didn't deliver the knockout blow when you had an opportunity to do so. Anthony Lynn considered going for the touchdown, but decided otherwise.
I did consider going for it, but I didn't. I went for it a couple other times in the game. But at that point in time, I thought I'd give us a chance to extend the game, and it didn't work out.
Well, sometimes I wonder if coaches watch the rest of the league and what goes on, because if you're Anthony Lynn, who I really do like as a coach,
not even a little,
you watch the rest of the league. When you give the Chiefs an opportunity, they take advantage of it, and you have to deliver a knockout blow at that point in time. You've got to go for the touchdown there. A field goal against the Chiefs with 3 minutes to go and a kickoff pending, and you're giving the ball to Patrick Mahomes in that offense. I don't care how good you've been playing defensively all day. Eventually, the Chiefs are going to find a way. And they did it yesterday. You left them hanging out there with just a three.
Again,
and the Chiefs scored the final 6 points of the game.
Swings against the Chiefs.
You do, man. You do.
So you're saying they had their sweep the leg moment and they showed mercy.
They did. Yes. Absolutely. Now
you could say
a couple of times. That one and in overtime.
And Harrison Butker crane kicked him in the face.
That's right.
You don't get it and you make Patrick Mahomes go 95 yards, and he's probably still going to get you. So maybe you're picking your poison
but
there a little bit.
But would you rather have him try to go 95 yards with 3 minutes to go in the game and then go to overtime as opposed to take a field goal there and then kick off to the Chiefs and put them in better field position? Just a three-point lead is nothing against this football team.
I mean, granted, if you don't get it and they go 95 yards, they win.
They win.
You don't.
Sure,
but right. Do I make them do that? Yes, because I think you have to take your swings when they're there. I'm not saying be reckless like, you know, John Harbaugh has been in the past. We're going for fourth downs and 2-point conversions way too early. But in a situation like that, late in the game, and your team has fought so hard all day, I line it up and I say, I believe in you guys. Let's go. Let's try to get the touchdown here, and we'll force the Chiefs to score a touchdown to get to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get this. We're going to get this and we're going to go.
Right. And we're going to get a touchdown.
Yeah, I would have tried it. Yep.
Yeah. And I think if you're playing the Chiefs and you have an opportunity to go for it on fourth downs, you have to do it. We saw the Chargers again in overtime, fourth and one. They punted it. What are you doing? Like, who did it in week one? The Houston, you know, doing stupid things in week one by punting the football and the Chiefs taking it the other way and scoring points. Like, watch the rest of the league. Don't make the same mistakes that the rest of the league makes. And again, that's the difference between Andy Reid and Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll and Mike Tomlin and some of these great coaches versus some of these other guys that aren't in that category.
I'm going to steal from Danning because he says it all the time. Don't play to lose. Play to win.
Play to win. Go out there and play to win. And the Chargers played not to lose yesterday.
I felt like that those were two situations where like, man, you gotta try to beat the Chiefs, man. Yeah. Don't just try to hang with them.
Right.
And go try to beat them.
They tried to hang with them, and it just didn't work.
Let's shout it out, 913-576-7610, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Yeah, check them out at southlandtow.com, and if you mention 610, you'll get 10% off. Ryan?
Someone called him Scott Locust, and they can stop. I don't know why that's so humorous to me. Anybody else rooting for a Chiefs loss yesterday just so we don't have to listen to Bob with his terrible 192-0 take?
No.
I'm not rooting for it. But it'll be nice once we get past that hurdle.
Just get the one. It'll be good to get it out of the way, is what I'm saying.
I don't really want it to happen.
I got my guy Damon Bruce at our sister station San Francisco tweeting me yesterday. 192-0 is still in the bag. Still have an opportunity for it.
I saw that tweet. He's like 192-0 still in play.
Still in play. Yeah.
I don't know why we continue to just encourage you on this. Okay, whatever. Let's see. Please God, never stop playing that scream. Okay, I gotta cut that.
Yeah, that thing is unbelievable. Somebody snapped a bone and then screamed.
I think they were just trying to like throw off their.
And then
he was talking in his backswing.
Who on the Chiefs sidelines has that high pitched a voice?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was somebody that's like hitting great blocks together because, you know, they're faking crowd noise and things like that.
No way. 816, why do they always show slow motion close ups of athletes dropping the F bomb? It's one of my favorite. I love it.
I was telling you, Ryan, yesterday, Green Bay needs to pump in some crowd noise or something
didn't
up there.
They just needed to enhance the mics.
I mean, every other word was F or an S bomb. I mean, like I'm like, Green Bay's not even trying to cover this stuff.
I think there was a see you next Tuesday in there, too.
I think I heard that as well. I'm like, did I just hear that? I mean, there was one play yesterday where Travis made the reception. And he's going down the sidelines, and he yells at the defense, like, get off me! Did you guys hear that one come across on the TV? He pushes the guy down. Get off me! It was like at the beginning of the second half. And I was like, man, Travis just yelled at that dude to get off him yesterday. I thought that was pretty good. So you got to pump the crowd noise up. Yeah, 14-21 to go. Travis Kelce, 20-yard play, longest of the day at that point. And Davis was covering him, and he pushes me. He goes, get off me! So pump the crowd noise.
816. Oh, this is from our girl Kathy. Shout out to the Padres for making the playoffs for the first time in 14 years.
Yeah, congratulations to
them. She's giddy. So.
That'll be a fun team to watch in October.
Let's see. 816. Shout out to Ryan's buddy Brandon. He's changing jobs, working with us at Jim Hawk Truck Trailer soon. All right.
that your friend who you didn't know what he did?
Yeah, I still don't know what he does.
He's switching jobs. You don't have to
he
know
says
what he
he's
did.
A great parts guy, so I guess that's what he does is he sells parts.
He does
trailers.
Parts. Right.
He sells trailers and trailer part accessories.
Cool.
How does one harvest emu oil, S660?
Well, you find an emu, and then you go get its oil.
Then you milk it for oil.
Oh, gross. Someone said made a roast yesterday. We roasted the Chargers.
Oh, wow.
At the end.
Yes. So it was a slow roast.
So it was a crock pot type of day for you, huh?
Very slow roast.
Steve Belichick's mullet seems like a great parody Twitter follow.
Is there a Twitter account, Steve Belichick's mullet? There has to be, right?
I don't know. He looks like he smells like moonshine. He just does. And maybe wintergreen.
Yeah. Wintergreen. Yeah. No question. Yeah. Yeah. He just looks like he hasn't bathed in a while. Like you and your dad sit there and mumble at each other all day.
I'd like to think that he's a well-qualified individual to have that job. The other part of me believes that Belichick just gave him the job so that way he would get off the couch.
He gave my kid a job so he would do something instead of sit around all day.
He's tired of having him hang out in the garage with this crappy, like, 80s cover band.
Yeah, the room always smells like scum. Like,
they do, like, strictly
Steve.
Iron Maiden B-sides.
Yes. Steve Belichick, I don't know if you guys heard this on the Sunday night broadcast. They were talking about Steve Belichick, and somebody said to him, would you ever consider taking a job somewhere else, or do you like working for your dad? He goes, I would consider anything. He goes, but nobody's asking.
Steve.
Awesome. Awesome.
Good to talk to you about your terrible band.
Why does your room smell like a skunk all the time, Steve?
Need to report to the office on Monday.
Yeah. If you're going to be coaching now, you're the D-backs coach.
That's all I got for you today.
The coaching defensive backs. Enough of this dream of playing in an Iron Maiden B-side cover band.
What were the Iron Maiden B-side cover band?
And then
like Steel Misters or something?
I went and saw a cover band one time, and they legitimately didn't play a single song I'd ever heard of.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. You guys might remember this one from REO, and then it was like some song I have no clue what this was.
Who is the mullet aiming to annoy, though? Because it's not going to annoy Bill.
Probably his mom.
I mean, right? It's got to be the mother.
Yeah, it's got to be your mom.
Because that's not annoying Bill at all.
You think he's just doing it to rebel against his parents?
No chance that guy's got like a girlfriend or something, right?
Yes, you do. The mullet is a retaliatory thing.
Steve Belichick could have a girlfriend.
You think?
I'm going to look it up right now. Right. The internet knows everything.
Maybe he makes his sister mad or something.
Steve is. Nice
yeah, his wife's name is Jennifer Schmidt.
Oh, I was going to say.
So he's married.
Yeah, she's not unattractive.
Okay, so he grew the mullet.
Nice girl from church I want to introduce to you.
It looks like he's got like a man bun or something going on.
So he grew that out during quarantine and just kept it because she was telling him to get a haircut. We all know how it works, right? We're all married. Your wife tells you to do something, you do a 180 of it. So she probably hates the mullet, and that's why he's kept it. Good for him, man. Be your own person.
Is that like what happened when you had that mustache?
Yeah, my wife hated it, so I just kept it.
It was horrible.
It was terrible.
It was really bad.
It was terrible, but the more she said, I don't like it and shaved, the more I'm like, nah, I don't think so.
Now I'm rooting for you to keep it and like curl the ends, Raleigh finger style.
God, I couldn't do that. Take a year.
That
plus.
Is today's edition of Shout It Out. Text line always open for you, 913-576-7610.
Plus, I don't brew beer and roll my jeans.
Darn it. They may have found their guy. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Nailed it.
He is throwing long down the field. He wants Tyreek Hill, makes the catch and rolls into the end zone. On the right side, touchdown, Kansas City. And the Chiefs hit the Chargers with the 54-yard bomb to the Cheetah.
Finally got that cat open down the field. Mitch Holtis yesterday on 106.5, the Wolf. Tyreek Hill, the 54-yard touchdown from Patrick Mahomes. As the Chiefs with the come-from-behind win yet again, 23-20, the victory in overtime at the Chargers. Chiefs have hey, they had to scratch and claw and find their way. Unfortunately, I think the Chargers may crap. They answered a question.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've been wanting, like, if you do you have your quarterback or not?
Yeah.
For the other teams in the division. I'm like, man, that kid was real Justin Herbert really good, considering he literally was handed the ball on kickoff.
Yeah, he was spectacular yesterday. Like you couldn't have scripted a better debut for Justin Herbert than what we saw yesterday. And obviously the one mistake turned into a touchdown for the Kansas City Chiefs. But other than that, I thought he was brilliant yesterday. I mean, he was running the ball. He was throwing the football well. He was running that offense like he'd been doing it, you know, for 15 years. I mean, he looked like a veteran out there. And if you just turned that game on yesterday, you had no idea that guy was playing in his first game ever. And I was really impressed, and at the same time went, man, okay, I guess we now know who the second best quarterback in this division is. And it really isn't even close right now with what we've seen. Drew Locke now out 2 to 6 weeks with a shoulder injury, whatever Oakland's got going on out there. And then obviously Patrick Mahomes is the cream of the crop here in the West. But Justin Herbert elevated himself yesterday to the second best quarterback in this division. And it's not even an argument right now that he's the second best quarterback in this division.
It isn't, because he's,
well, at least not for me,
not going to be starting according to Anthony Lynn. If Tyrod Taylor's ready, then it's,
I mean, I'm not going to answer that question right now. I want to wait and see what type of health Tyrod is in. He was our starter for a reason. And you know, if he's 100% ready to go, then you know, he's our starter. But I know that Justin can pick up the slack if he can't.
All right.
Well, you know, he does use that caveat. If he's 100%, you can always say, well, he's only 99% today, so we're going to continue to start Justin Herbert. But I think yesterday we saw a Wally Pipp type of move, man. You know, Tyrod Taylor was supposed to start. Coin toss happens. He hurt himself on the coin toss or however it went down yesterday, and he couldn't play in the game. Justin Herbert went in there, and you've got to ride the hot hand. Not that, you know, Tyrod Taylor wasn't the hot hand or whatever after week one. He had a fairly decent enough game, you know, to start with. But I think what you need to see is the future right now. And if you're the Chargers, is your future Tyrod Taylor? Is it Justin Herbert? Are you going to beat the Chiefs with Tyrod Taylor going forward, or is Justin Herbert going to beat that guy to try to upset them in the division?
It took me what, one drive to text you?
Yeah.
Just like Justin Herbert should be the starter.
He should be the starter. Yeah. He should absolutely be the starting quarterback for the Chargers.
I don't understand like what the sense of holding a guy back is like. I was on board with starting Mahomes year one. Like, let's just get that out there right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you learn more through experience than you do sitting on the sidelines. Like, we could sit here and we could talk about what Alex Smith taught Patrick Mahomes and how it made him such a great talent. I think he had that talent already. Yes, some of those things were honed and refined because of Alex Smith. I think those were largely things he would have figured out on his own with a great support system and staff here like Andy Reid and everybody else in place as well. That being said,
that you didn't have to.
Yeah, are you really expecting like an Alex Smith type of thing with Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert? Because I like everything that we've heard. I mean, I haven't heard that, you know, he's always really taking him under his wing and he's teaching him. No, Tyrod Taylor is competing to be the starter.
Would he? Tyrod Taylor lost his job in Cleveland. Same way.
Got hurt.
Mayfield stepped in and he was forgotten.
Right.
Like, I'm sure it's amicable between the two of them, but I don't feel. Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor's not going to do this again.
No.
Like it's not his job. Like what I'm here for is setting the table for the next guy by having some kind of freak thing happen and then the next guy comes in.
So I
would especially expect this stop for that not to be the case. Like it just happened in Cleveland.
Right. But I would also look at it and say Tyrod Taylor really hasn't had that track record of success. Alex Smith was a very successful quarterback in the NFL, and so you could obviously make the case, which the Chiefs did, that's a good person to learn from. Alex Smith played his best football here in Kansas City with Andy Reid. I don't see a track record of success for Tyrod Taylor around the NFL where I'm like, that's the guy that I want to mentor the next one. I think it was an open competition, and had there been training camp and preseason games, I mean, we saw Justin Herbert yesterday. If he played like that in week two of the NFL season and he's never played in an NFL game before, what would training camp have looked like if it was an open competition, or what would preseason games have looked like if this kid was playing? There would have been a lot of pressure to play Justin Herbert in the beginning of the season, and he was able to fly under the radar. And then, You know, it happens yesterday with a freak injury before the game, and he has to step in, and he goes and plays like that. I just don't know how, as a coach, you can go, okay, we're going back to Tyrod Taylor after watching this guy go out there and perform. Because
the cat's out the bag.
Yeah,
now, man.
like you just go with this guy right now, because that's what you're trying to win and build a team for the future, and you're trying to find a way to knock off the Chiefs, and Justin Herbert puts you in better position yesterday than probably Tyrod Taylor
would. And I'll be honest, too, like, you know, I had texted you earlier in the day as well, like, to me, I think it took a lot of the pressure off having him not have to have a week of buildup leading up to that game. Like,
yeah, you just go out just there and play.
In there, he's like, okay, fine, let's go play. And sure, there were some times where he had a couple of overthrows. You're like, man, he got a little extra pep in his step.
There were
on that
many
one.
Of like, them, though, man. He was pretty like
you're his
on.
Teammate, you're his teammate. You go, wow.
There were a couple of sideline routes.
Too. Yeah. If I'm his teammate, I'm like, I want that guy running. They may think Tyrod Taylor's the nicest dude in the world and has some talent, whatever. Yeah. But you saw that, like, we know he's the future. He didn't do anything playing alongside of us on this particular game to say anything otherwise. But I'm his teammates. I'm probably going, yeah, he's ready. Let's go.
He's ready. Let's go. And I know exactly what sideline route you're talking about.
Got a great backup. Ready to go.
I think it was the third. Who Stick? Easton Stick? Is that
no,
what you're
no, no,
about?
No. I'm saying Tyrod Taylor. Oh, yeah. Now you have a great backup. Yeah, like, let's go. Yeah,
but I think it was third quarter. It was onto the far side, the Chiefs sideline of the field, where he missed that out pattern. But like you can legitimately remember the couple of passes that he had yesterday that you're like, oh, you wish you would have had them back. I mean, that tells you how good a game it was for that kid.
I mean,
yesterday.
I can't imagine that he wouldn't be better if you give him an entire week's worth of reps as the starter and have him practicing with the ones and all of this. Like, I can't imagine that it wouldn't improve, but you know.
I'm curious to see what a week of practice would do for him,
and I keep
right?
doubling back on, like, I'm like, are we expecting the Alex Smith treatment? Like, give me a time that was the thing.
Yeah.
Like, give me a time when other quarterbacks were just willing to give up their job and train somebody who was going to be the replacement for him. Like, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, sorry, man. He played well
and
yesterday. You can't go back.
Ben Roethlisberger didn't want it to happen. Brett Favre, he wasn't happy about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers isn't happy about having to do it.
And then you could make the case, Alex Smith shouldn't have done it.
He did.
He lost his gig at the previous stop.
But also got like $80 million in the bank.
And would have been fully right to be in that mode of like, I'm not losing another job. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. It's remarkable. Mm-hmm. Because, if I'm Tyrod Taylor, I'm not helping Justin.
No.
I saw Baker Mayfield. No, I'm not doing this again. No. Herbert on his unexpected debut.
I was really excited. This is something that I've waited for my entire life. And sure, it didn't end the way we wanted it to. But I think we made some big plays along the way. And I know that we're going to have a great week of practice and get ready for next week.
Good Lord willing, we'll give it 110%. We'll go out and get
we'll
that next one.
And get it done.
Yeah, your future's now.
Crash Davis is training an entire generation of athletes.
Anthony Lynn's got a little, he's got a fondness for Tyrod Taylor.
Sure does. Played with him and coached him in Buffalo. I mean, they've got a relationship.
It's got some loyalty to him and all that stuff, but it looks like there's no need to do it now.
No, there really
is. It
would
have probably happened earlier had there been a preseason, right? We talked with Shannon Farron, the sideline reporter for the Chargers last week. He's like, best thing for Anthony Lynn and for Tyrod, they didn't have to deal with the hype because there was no preseason.
Right.
Didn't have to look over the shoulder. Didn't do that. Well, kid plays once.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Now you got the hype. Now you got the hype. I mean, they're lucky they're playing in a place like L.A. where nobody cares about it, and it's not probably going to be a big deal locally for them. But if that was Dallas, or if that was, New York, or if that was, Chicago or someplace like that where people are, like, involved in their teams and saw that, that would be the topic all week in that city about how could you potentially even think about going back to Tyrod Taylor when you may have found a diamond in the rough by accident because of injury yesterday.
Derek Johnson coming up at 7:30. We chat with the former Chiefs linebacker. He joins us each and every Monday at 7:30. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station. Time for a little Royals Rewind, brought to you by Bob Allen Ford. Did not go well yesterday for the Royals. They are swept after losing the finale to the Brewers 5-3.
So Vogelback will see a seventh pitch from Brad Keller. First and second, nobody down. Here it comes, and a fastball hit into the air, deep left field, that's way back there, and that ball is gone. That's into the Royal bullpen where Kyle Zimmer is warming up. Daniel Vogelback does it again, second home run today, a two-run homer in the first, and now a three-run homer in the sixth inning, and Milwaukee's lead is 5-1.
You won't get Steve that one, Stewart. Vogelback.
Yesterday here on
Wait, was that was
Sports
happening
Radio.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Huh. Yes. Yes.
He went Vogel back.
Yes. He went Vogel back to back.
You guys are the worst.
Brad Keller gives up 2 home runs, 5 runs, all from Daniel Vogelback, who hit 2 home runs.
You'd like to get that game Vogel back.
And the Royals lose to the Brewers.
I bet if you're Anthony Lynn, you'd like to get that field goal attempt with 3:08 to go Vogelback, too.
Yeah, you would.
Vogelback looks like a guy who played on your beer league softball team.
Oh, yeah, but
the pinstripes did not help him.
But he could hit it.
Yeah, he could, he was raking.
He never had to run hard.
No, he did not. I mean, he was like grabbing a beer at each base.
Even when you're playing in that limit league where you can't hit home runs anymore, he just did it anyway. I don't care if it's an out. Yeah. I'm still going to crush this. I'm not going to keep it in the ballpark.
He's got principles.
I'm going to just hit it really hard. So the Royals' final homestand of the year begins tonight.
Ooh, they get Vogel back to Kansas City tonight?
They got Vogel back last night.
Oh, that's good.
And they get to take on the Vogel Cardinals tonight. Royals and Cardinals. Carlos Hernandez against Adam Wainwright.
You know, we could go Vogel back to when the Cardinals were spreading the COVID all over the place.
7:05 first pitch on 610 Sports Radio. Vern has your pregame tonight.
It's been 3 weeks since somebody in baseball tested positive.
He'll join us coming up at 9:30.
What? Was this in the news?
But the Royals were close.
Close, yeah. Almost on the cusp of getting into the playoffs, man. If they would have taken 2 out of 3 from the Brewers, there would have been some serious, serious talk about could they make a run here in the last 6 games of the season.
If they would have done this, then there would have been talk about whether or not they could do this.
That is correct. We're doing that this year. I mean, I heard Cody say it the other day. He goes, man, if we would have won 7-10, he goes, it's not even about winning 7-10. If the Royals just won 3 of 10 during that losing streak, they would have been right in the middle of the playoff conversation. And so they
could have prepped. My aunt had a pair, she'd be my uncle.
They could have prepped for the bubble.
Yeah, absolutely.
The preps of the preps. We're being made to prep for the prep of the bubble.
Yeah, getting ready for what could potentially take place in the postseason. And so that's why when the baseball purists come out and say, you know, I don't want to see the playoffs expanded, I look at just this year alone and say, if you're a baseball fan, why wouldn't you want the playoffs expanded? You're going to be adding teams in to the postseason, obviously, but you're going to be keeping it interesting for so many more markets. And if this is like a regular season and you're like late in the year and have an opportunity to get into the postseason, why wouldn't you want, like, why would you be against expansion of the playoffs? Like, it just doesn't even make any sense.
I'm not against expanding the playoffs if they shorten the season. If you keep 162 games, then I don't think at that point you need to have this many teams. Like, you can't figure out who the 8 best teams are after that. Really? Like, you can't do that? Give me like 100 and shorten the season and expand the playoffs.
I'm not arguing against shortening the season at all. I think it should be. I think 60 was too few.
I know, but we're talking about keeping the expanded playoffs even with 162 game season.
Correct.
And
that
seems excessive.
Well, it's all about the money. They don't care. Every game is more money.
Unfortunately, we're not in the reduction business least for the foreseeable future.
Right. They're not, especially after this year.
It was to put the NBA teams in a bubble and play a 60-game baseball season.
Yeah.
It ain't happening again.
I mean, did you see how many people have lost jobs in Major League Baseball this year because of that pandemic? I think the Braves got rid of like 100 people the other day because of it. Mm. So they're going to
hire robots to umpire.
They're going to find ways to continue to increase the inventory to increase more money. And that's why it was so vital for Major League Baseball to get to the postseason, because that's where all the checks are going to be cashed for them this year. And so, yeah, you're going to see expanded playoffs because it's more inventory for them to sell, more seats for them to sell, more games to be played.
I've never been in favor of like longer season, all those things, but I understand the reality of it.
The reality, right, especially after a pandemic where you had 0 fans.
And then when I have a team that's going to have a tough time all the time getting in, yes, give me another playoff team. I can't say no.
Right, you can't say no.
I want to have an opportunity to make a run at something.
Right, it's great. So I have no problem with the expansion of playoffs. And people are like, well, what if a sub-500? Then a sub-500 team gets in. Then the team that plays that sub-500 team in the playoffs better take care of business and win their games and win their series, so you don't have to talk about a sub-500 team hanging around.
Chiefs got beat up again yesterday. Frank Clark had to leave the game ill. Sammy Watkins, I don't know how that's not a flag, but takes the helmet to the ear hole
Yeah.
And has to leave the game.
How did he not get a helmet? That, I mean, that could have been a game ejection type of penalty. Yeah, you saw the guy in Seattle get kicked out yesterday.
That was tough. Those are hard to see.
And like, then Sammy on the sidelines. I don't think I've seen somebody that disoriented in a long time. Like, he looked like he had no idea where he was.
Right when it happens, he's down. Andrew Wiley comes and snatches him up by the, you know, does his job and gets him to his feet.
Yeah.
Well, does his job when you're trying to keep somebody in the game.
In the game, yeah.
Snatches him by the shoulder pads, gets him to his feet, and then you're just like,
ugh. I mean, he looked like he was punched by Mike Tyson.
Just tough to watch. Darrell Williams leaves the game with an injured ankle. They lose another corner.
Yeah.
My goodness. Antonio Hamilton
out.
To a groin injury.
Boy, that was an ugly groin injury too. I mean, he just stopped mid play and was hobbling all over the place. Like it looked like it ripped away thing. Like, do we have the audio of that?
That was what he was. That was a little bit on the fly, but yes. Right. And yet the Chiefs make do.
Yeah, they did. They found a way again.
And so depth, accommodating, because basically they had to run with two corners the rest of the game.
Right.
Like that was it.
I mean, Ward was already out going into this game.
Yeah. Javarius Ward was out. Breland still on suspension. Hamilton goes down. You're running with Rashad Fenton.
Yeah.
And I have the need for Sneed.
Yep.
Legarius Sneed. And that's it.
And that is it, brother.
You're going to throw every other safety out there to hell. You're going to do all kinds of stuff.
I feel the need for Sneed.
And you just made it work. And depth again coming to play for the Chiefs yesterday. And then Taco Charlton comes in.
Yeah.
Taco Charlton's active yesterday. And Frank Clark's not in. And Taco makes a play.
Taco had a nice stat line.
Mike Dana makes a play.
Yeah.
Tip of the cap. You've created some depth on this team where, you know, it's not always going to be the 100%. It's all good fill in. But they made it work on defense, and they played a lot of people on defense already this year.
They have found a way. And that's why when we talked about it at the beginning of the year, and I said, look, I'm out of the worry about depth business here, because when they do put guys in there, they do step up and they do play well. And Mike Dana yesterday was one of those guys that came up big. I mean, like a late round draft pick. What was he, a fifth or a sixth round draft pick by the Chiefs? And he had a big moment yesterday. Yes. His sack yesterday was a big time play in that game. I mean, you're looking at, like, who is that guy? Number, what was he, 51 or whatever it was, with 10:32 to go in the fourth quarter, a 14-yard sack for Mike Dana there. And that was the first negative play of the day that the Chargers had, was with 10.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. So they had been moving the ball effectively. He comes in replacing Frank Clark at that point in time, comes up with a big sack, especially on a day where you needed somebody on the defensive line to do something, because Chris Jones had a bad day yesterday. I mean, he was not where he should have been for most of the day. He was getting washed out on blocks, spinning around. Like, he had a bad day. Yes, Chargers had a good game plan.
I really thought that the Chiefs were going to have a nice day against that offensive line.
Yeah.
They had to move things around. Pouncey didn't play in the week before, but was like for sure out. And so the guard moved to center and you had a new guard.
Right.
You lost your right tackle early on in the game. I'm like, man, there's so much going on in that offensive line for the Chargers.
Let's go.
Let's go. And they couldn't get it going. Credit, Chargers were really good yesterday up front. Another injury. I mentioned the Darrell Williams injury to his ankle. You go on a fourth down and you can give it to Darwin Thompson.
Yeah.
Like, stones to be able to do that. But also you're kind of like, okay, next man,
guy
let's
up.
Go.
Yeah.
Let's
next
go.
Guy up.
You think there was a Darwin Thompson fourth down play dialed up for
probably
yesterday?
Not. I wouldn't imagine there's not. That's not in the book. No.
It's be ready in case that happens. But that seemed like a Darrell Williams type play.
Yep.
Right. He's out. Darwin Thompson's in and you're not afraid to give him the ball and go.
And you pick up the first down.
Building depth. Having confidence to use that depth, and it comes to play yet again yesterday.
Yeah, yep, yet again. And look, was the defense perfect yesterday? No, it was not. But the guys who stepped up and played in those moments when you needed them to, I thought did a really good job yesterday. So welcome to the NFL, Mike Dana. Welcome to Kansas City, Taco Charlton. The team needed you yesterday, and you both had a sack in that game yesterday. It was a big moment for the Chiefs.
Want to see him kick that football over the mountains?
Yeah.
Next.
Hello, Legarius Sneed.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.